You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of the Bard.
Misunderstood and often ignored. That's how Dr. J. Vernon McGee describes the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes. Welcome to Through the Bible. I'm Steve Schwetz, welcoming you aboard the Bible bus for another great adventure in God's Word. We're beginning in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 5, and to get us started, here's Dr. McGee to give us a bit more insight into today's study.
Our study today brings us to Ecclesiastes, the first chapter at verse 5. The Bible is one of the most exciting and dynamic books that's in the world today. One of the proofs of the inspiration of the Scripture, one of the many proofs, is when it is read, it forces opinions, it forces decisions. The Lord Jesus put it even like this, "If you're not for me, you're against me." You can't take a neutral position when you're reading and studying the Word of God. The words of the Scripture are very much like some critic in the past said of Shelley, the words that he wrote. And he said, if you cut them, they'll bleed. Well, that's the way the words of the Scripture are. And because it is that kind of a book, there are some people who avoid portions of Scripture. You will note that don't many consider Ecclesiastes has some strange statements. Now, this book we've come to, Ecclesiastes, is God's answer to humanism, the besetting philosophy of the present hour and of the moment, the thing that has captured the thinking of men and women in all walks of life. In fact, it is that which forms the lifestyle of Americans today. Well, humanism simply exalts and deifies man. It rejects God altogether and says that man is the sum of all things. He is the final product of evolution, and he is the one today that is the master of his fate, and he's the captain and of his soul, all the way from Aristotle to Walt Whitman. That has been the thing that has been taught in opposition to the Bible, to its morality, and to its philosophy, and to its message. Godless humanism is the basis today of the thought patterns of man in all walks of life in our modern day. You take our schools today, especially the schools of higher education, but this actually goes right on down into the kindergarten, for that matter. And in other words, they want to get rid of creation. There is a very definite, deliberate attempt to get rid of creation. Creation would tear down their house of cards today. They make history to conform to their own patterns, and they're doing nothing in the world but cutting out paper dolls, that which is the figment of man's imagination, and that there's no such thing today, of course, as sin. There is no such thing today, actually, as morality. They would argue that morals are relative. If you think it's wrong, well, you're the master of your soul, then it's wrong. If you don't think it's wrong, well, then it's not wrong, because you're the master of your soul. That has gotten into the thinking of men and women today in all walks of life. In fact, I'm not sure, but some of it rubs off on some Christians today. And you find it in politics. Our government today is saturated it, and that's the reason they want to rule God out. They take the First Amendment, twist it and distort it, and say that there should be separation of church and state. And that First Commandment does not teach the separation of church and state at all. It just says the state is not to start a religion or control a religion. And therefore, they have no right today to interfere with a man who wants the teaching of creation to his children. You interfere with that man's personal liberty when you do that. You've interfered with him and his home, but they don't approach it like that. We are in this humanistic society. And even humanism today has gotten into the church. Liberalism is a religious form of humanism. It takes the emphasis off of God, puts it on man. They, for instance, will take the Sermon on the Mount. They use that. And they will tell you that it is anthropocentric. That means it's man-centered. And then there are those that like to say that it is even Christocentric, Christ-centered. I would say that the Sermon on the Mount is theocentric. It is God-centered. Even when man is enjoined in that to do his good works. Why? To glorify his Father which is in heaven. He's the ultimate. He's the one to set the moral standards today. Now, all of these systems lead to a dream world of moonbeams. They finally crash on the hard rock of reality and time, and they're, of course, moving us in that direction today. Now, that's the reason that this book of Ecclesiastes is so interesting. It approaches life from man's viewpoint. And that's the reason that we are calling your attention to it here at the beginning, in order that you might see how utterly futile, how utterly worthless it is to follow a godless philosophy that always has led and will lead man to destruction. This is something we need to keep before us as we're going through this book and also as we're going through life today.
That's a great introduction. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, would you increase our faith as we believe your word and what it says about how to live lives that glorify you? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now here's our continuing study of Ecclesiastes chapter 1 on Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now today, friends, we come to the book of Ecclesiastes, and we are putting in here at verse 5. I trust that you have your Bible here. Now, we got through this verse, but verse 5 is tied on to this next verse here, verse 6, and we'd like to consider them together. In fact, verse 7 also. He says here, "The sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteth to his place where he arose. The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about to the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again." Now, here is, without doubt, one of the most remarkable statements in the Scripture. And here is a revelation that Solomon made a study of science, or of the laws of nature, as probably that would be the better term, and he knew a great deal about these things. And it's quite interesting that these are some of the things that are basic today as far as science is concerned. I'd like to read to you a statement made by Dr. A.T. Pearson, and I'm reading now from him. "There is a danger in pressing the words in the Bible into a positive announcement of scientific fact. So marvelous are some of these correspondences. But it is certainly a curious fact that Solomon should use language entirely consistent with discoveries as evaporation and storm currents. Some have boldly said that Redfield's theory of storms is here explicitly stated. Without taking such ground, we ask, who taught Solomon to use terms that readily accommodate facts? Who taught him that the movement of the winds, which seem to be so lawless and uncertain, are ruled by laws as positive as those which rule the growth of the plant, and that by evaporation, the waters that fall on the earth are continually rising again, so that the sea never overflows? And then he goes on to speak about Ecclesiastes 12:6. He says, as a poetic description of death, the silver cord describes the spinal marrow, the golden bowl, the basin, which holds the brain, the pitcher, the lungs, and the wheel, the heart. Without claiming that Solomon was inspired to foretell the circulation of the blood 26 centuries before Harvey announced it, is it not remarkable that the language he uses exactly suits the facts? A wheel pumping up through one pipe to discharge through another. Now, that is remarkable. Now you have here three very interesting statements in these verses that we have here before us. He says, the sun rises, goeth down. There is a monotony in nature also. But also there is that which you can depend on. You can depend on the sun coming up. You can depend on it going down. Now, that's the terminology we use, and it has accommodated all ages. Yet I'm sure most of us know today that what actually is the coming up of the sun and the going down of it really is the rotation of the earth. But may I say, as far as we're concerned, we're standing on a pretty solid piece of ground, and it looks to us like the sun's come up and the sun goes down. Nothing wrong with that. The statement is something that is absolutely amazing, that this is something that is done in a precise, regular way, that it is obeying certain laws. How did Solomon know about that? He didn't have the gadgets that we have or the background to base his predictions on. Now, he also noted something else, that the rivers run into the sea, but the sea's not full. In other words, he's tacitly speaking of the law of evaporation, of the elevation of the moisture into the air. Then the wind comes along and blows that over, and there are lakes up above us, rivers up above us, and the Lord moves them out from the sea to the land, and then he lets it pour out. And all of that's following a certain definite specific law. There's nothing really haphazard that's happening, although we may think so. The very interesting thing is, here you have three, and of course we saw one in verse 4. We really have four remarkable statements here concerning the laws of nature that today make sense. They fit right into what men know today. Now you get writings that come from 1,000 years before Christ came into the world, and you see what they have to say. You'll find out that there's a great deal of superstition, a great deal that is false, a great deal that won't bear inspection at all. But this is another one of the remarkable things about the Word of God. Now, in verse 8, he makes another very remarkable statement here. Will you notice it? He says, all things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. And if men didn't believe that is true, they certainly ought to in this day of TV. Some people can look at it hours during the day and still keep looking at it. Why? Because the eye is never satisfied with seeing. Ears never filled with hearing. And I'm sure all of us love to go to new places, see new scenes. That is one of the things that I have enjoyed about this life. And one of the things I enjoy about this wonderful country that I live in. Why, any area you go in, now many of us like to kid somebody that comes from a certain state, and I get kidded because I come from the state of Texas. Of course, it's all jealousy on the part of a lot of folk, but they kid me about coming from Texas. But I want to say this to you very candidly. I haven't been in a state yet, and I've been in most of them, that I didn't like. They're all wonderful. And you and I live in a wonderful country and on a wonderful universe. I is not satisfied with seeing the air with here, and we just keep looking all the time. Man cannot exhaust the exploration of the universe. The more he learns, the more he sees that he should learn. The more he learns reveals there's still more to learn. And this is frustrating. The physical universe is too big for little man. And he alone, of God's creatures, as far as we know, is able to comprehend it. I'm of the opinion that the dog I used to have that take walking, we hear of a dog baying the moon. I don't think that he knew the distance up there, and I don't think he cared. And I don't think that he recognized that he was living in a vast universe. The dog's world, I think, is a pretty small world. It's not any bigger than a bone most of the time. Now, will you notice he moves on here? He says, the thing that hath been is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there's no new thing under the sun. Now, actually, there really is not. A great many people think because we come up with some new manufactured gadget like TV, actually the telephone. I can remember when the telephone was quite a novelty. In fact, we were on a line in West Texas in the country that when you answered the phone, you heard about a dozen telephones being lifted from the receiver. Because I tell you, that was the way to get the word out. If you wanted to make an announcement, just have the telephone ring and you could make it, because it would go all up and down the highway in that day, which wasn't, of course, much of a highway. Now, the thing that is quite remarkable here is nothing new under the sun. Now, I want to say that actually there's nothing new. You say, well, how about the airplane, all of that? Well, let me say to you that there's really nothing new under the sun. Now, let me illustrate that to you. My grandfather, he courted my grandmother on an old horsehair sofa in a very staid living room down in Mississippi. And I'm telling you, it was really a back number. But he proposed to her there, and she accepted, and they got married. And my dad, he courted my mother. He'd met her on a train, a day coach, years ago. And he had a horse and buggy, and he took her in the horse and buggy to be married in Tyler, Texas. And that's the way that came about. And then I proposed to my wife down in Texas, and we were in a car. And I got a little grandson. I wondered how he's going to propose. Probably in a jet plane, but by the time he gets old enough, there'll be something new. He may propose in a space capsule. And somebody says, isn't that new? No, may I say to you, the same feeling my granddad had when she said yes is the same feeling I had. And I don't think that grandson of mine's going to have any different feeling than I've had. Really, there's nothing new under the sun. We may have a little different environment, a new gadget around, but there really is nothing new under the sun. Man is the same, and he gets a little different setting. The stage is generally set a little differently in each age, but same thing, by the way. Now, will you notice, he moves on here, and he says, is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new. It hath been already of old time, which was before us. Well, the statement that there's no new thing under the sun, it does seem to be untrue in this age of gadgetry, but it's true. You know, the atom bomb, they say, is new. But actually, the atom's been around a long time. The atom's older than man, although man did not know it existed for a long time. It was here. All man has accomplished is to make the little atom a very difficult neighbor. The nosy human should have let sleeping dogs lie, by the way. But we probe around and we don't find anything new. It's been here all the time. There's nothing new under the sun. Now somebody says, what about the computer? Well, God has given us a computer brain, that's all we got, an electronic nervous system, and it can bring to man no deep and abiding satisfaction. Man has learned that these things around him today are not really new. They don't give him anything new. I forgot to say there is one thing new. That's the new birth. And may I say to you that that is something that comes when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And that, my friends, about the only thing new that's going to be coming your way is the new birth. That's all. Now, Solomon tried all of these things, and he had to conclude this part by saying, there is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. Man tries every way in the world to keep himself before the public, but it doesn't take him long till he passes off the stage. You remember who the popular movie stars were 50 years ago? Do you remember who was the popular athlete 50 years ago? By the way, could you name the President of the United States 50 years ago? No, there's no remembrance of former thing. Art is long as time is fleeting. And we spend our time down here, as the scripture says, as a tale that is told. And we can't go back over it again. And that is the conclusion that Solomon came to here in this first experiment that he made. Now we find here he's going to seek satisfaction in wisdom and philosophy in verses 12 through 18. We'll get the pleasure in the second chapter. Now here's the experiment. He says, I, the preacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem, and I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. Now what he says here is, he said, you know, I've spent a lot of time studying philosophy of the world. And isn't it interesting, Solomon lived, nearly 1,000 years before Christ. We live 2,000 years this side. 3,000 years has elapsed, and man has come up with a great deal of gadgetry. But do you know that actually he doesn't know any more about philosophy and wisdom than he knew 3,000 years ago? There's been no improvement made in the matter of wisdom and philosophy. These things, they do not satisfy, cannot satisfy at all. He says in verse 14, I've seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. He says, you spend your time in making this experiment. You spend your time in studying this subject, and it's nothing in the world but just actually a waste of time. And as you know, we're living in a day when they are trying to say that all the past methods of education are just a waste of time. I wonder how good the present method is. I think just a waste of time, by the way. Man, by wisdom and philosophy, he can never know God. He never can really find out the important thing. Only by revelation does he get those. But Solomon tried it. We'll see that next time. May God richly bless you, my beloved.
We're just getting started in our study of Ecclesiastes. Encourage a family member or friend to join us for the journey. You can download our app or listen online at ttb.org. Dr. McGee's entire 5-year study of God's Word from Genesis to Revelation is also available on our Bible Bus flash drive. Call 1-800-65-BIBLE to find out more. It's just one of the many great resources that we make available solely for your spiritual encouragement. And to help you share God's Word with others, check them all out. Visit ttb.org. Again, you can reach us anytime at ttb.org or by calling 1-800-65-BIBLE. And if you'd like to be in touch by mail, you'll find us at Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. In Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C 6B1. Well, the Bible Bus rolls through Ecclesiastes 2 next time. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll save you a seat.
Jesus came home, unto him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain.
Through the Bible is a 5-year study of God's entire Word, and together we discover God's purposes in history and our lives, found only when we believe in Jesus Christ. Do you know Him yet?
You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Soon and very soon, we are going to see the
hallelujah is right. Praise the Lord. I am Minister Gloria Ross of New Life Assembly of God in Melbourne, Florida. I pray for all our faith partners and radio listeners today to be blessed by the radio broadcast. Hallelujah. Our church address is 774 North Apollo Boulevard. That's in Melbourne, Florida. Our church telephone number is 321-255-6999. Our church services are every Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m. sharp. Now here is Pastor Ross.
Well, praise the Lord once again out there in Radio Land. We thank God for this glorious opportunity to come into your homes, nursing homes, prison cells, automobiles, wherever you are, to tell you about the goodness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is exalted. He is the one that deserves all of the honor and the glory. We take no credit for anything, but because of who he is in our lives, we give him all the praise, all the honor. We thank him today. I want to pray for each and every person out there in Radio Land, even the backslider, those that know the Lord Jesus Christ, the religious folks, self-righteous people. I want to pray for you out there today and ask that the Lord Jesus Christ will become a reality in your life, that your life will change when you come to the Master. I don't believe that anyone that comes to the Master, lives will not be changed. Praise God. Father, I thank you this very moment in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that your word will touch the hearts of many that have tuned into this broadcast, that they will hear the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and their lives will be changed according to your word. Because it is your word that's alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So I ask that they be blessed today. Folks that have tuned in and do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, that they will be saved today, delivered from their problems and circumstances. And as you have said in your word in Psalms 55 in verse 22, you said, cast all your burdens upon the Lord, for he shall sustain you. And Lord, we thank you and praise you for that today in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Well, praise God. We want to look at what the word of God says and exalt the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's worthy to be praised. We thank him for everything that's going on. This is not a religious program. This is a program that extends relationship between man and God. Praise the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ, who is our mediator, and he is the one that brings everything to closure. And we thank and praise him for his word. Praise God. We're looking today in Hebrew, the 12th chapter. Praise God. And we want to look at what the word of God says, because there is a race that we all are in, and it's the spiritual race. And I want to tell you today, we try and lighten ourselves as much as we can so that we can run with patience this race. We don't need any hindering spirits. We don't need anything that will try and slow us down as children of God. We want to be light. So that we are able, when I say light, I'm not speaking of the fluorescent light. I'm speaking of being light where there's no excess baggage that we will be carrying. And the word tells us is very clear. It says, wherefore we'll come past about with such greater cloud of witnesses. A greater cloud of witnesses. Witnesses, folks that have gone on before us, praise God. They are our witnesses. We look at what they went through and the things that took place in their lives, and they finished their course. So we want to look at what the word of God is saying today for us as children of God. Because when this was written to the Hebrew, praise God, all these witnesses, we were compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. And the Word of God tells us, and let us run. Praise God. Let us run with patience the race that's been set before us. I want to tell you today, you're in a race, whether you realize it or not, as a child of God. And there are others that are not in the race, but they can be in this race. All they need to do is to give their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome him into their hearts and have him to do something with their lives, which he will if you come to him. You can be part of this race. Praise God. And you can do the will of God as he has foretold us in his word. So let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now that's very clear. I attribute the book of Hebrews to Apostle Paul, but there are many other comments concerning that it wasn't Paul that wrote it, but nevertheless, we just give God all of the honor and the glory because he's given us an understanding that this race that we're in, we have to stay focused. Now, I want to say something in the natural for a moment before we come back with the spiritual understanding, is that just say, for example, the marathon runners, those folks that are running marathon, you know, what they do is that they lighten themselves of all excess baggage, things that they are trying to carry. They're getting the attire that they use is very light, and what happened is that they don't have anything to hinder them because they want to run this race. They want to finish this race. They want to stay focused on what they're doing. So what happened is that being in this race, they get light. They're staying focused. Their mind is on finishing the race. And what happened is that staying focused, they can come to the end of that race. So from a spiritual standpoint, we also are in a spiritual race. Praise God. The scripture tells us that. And what happened is that it's not a trophy that we are looking for at the end of completing the race. We are looking at Jesus as the one that we stay focused with at the end of the race and thereafter. In the natural, the marathon runner runs for a trophy or whatever it is that he will attain at the end of that race. And that race is only temporary. But see, the race that we're focusing on through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we're being completely focused on him. And what it's telling us is that we can see him at the end of the race. Amen. So it says in Ministry Glory that we're surrounded, a compass with a greater cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight,
yes,
and every sin, everything that will try and beset us. In other words, hold us back, keep us from finishing this race. And what happened is that we lighten ourselves and we think we don't carry any excess baggage. What we do is that we get rid of whatever it is that will try and hinder us, and it takes us into the point where we are looking. We're staying focused. We're concentrating on finishing the race. Praise God. It's a spiritual race.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at this, the conclusion of the race, and the one that's at the end of the race.
Mm-hmm.
Our eyes are on him. And that's the only way that one will be able to finish the race. See, because if we're not focused, we cannot come to the completion of this race, because there will be distractions along the way to get our attention where we won't be able to finish this race. But thank God that we are looking to Jesus. Amen.
I remember in Philippians 3 and 13 where Paul has said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Press on. We must press on toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. This is what we're looking for. The blessed hope of the Lord Jesus Christ, finishing this race, that we will be with him at the end.
Amen. Because what's happening is that if we're staying focused on him, we're not concerned about who's behind us. We're not concerned of who's on the side of us. We are looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Praise God. So the concentration in terms of what we have as a child of God is our mind is on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one at the end of the race that will benefit us all. And the word tells us, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. And look at this thing here, because if you allow the distractions of things that pops up on the sideline and all the other things there, that it will hinder you. You have to stay focused. You have to look to Jesus. So it's not just a glance at the Lord Jesus Christ, who is at the end of this race. It's a continuous thing. You stay focused continuously, because the scripture tells us looking, that's progressive, and continuously looking at the one that at the end of this race. Praise God. And it says, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Let me tell you something this morning. The joy that was set before him, he did it with joy. We are running this race with joy. We want to finish it, praise God.
Amen.
And we will finish it, because our eyes are on the prize, and the Lord Jesus Christ, so to speak, is the prize, praise God. He's the one that we will benefit at the end of the race. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. You got to keep the cross involved in everything that we're doing, because otherwise it's an exercise of futility, because then it will get into the thing of works, which works will not progress or give us any benefit.
No.
In terms of this race, it has to be through our Lord and Savior Jesus.
Amen.
Christ.
Amen.
Praise God. Isn't that one? Through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. In other words, he sat down at the right hand of the power of God. So wherever he is, we're there with him, because our eyes are on him. We're focusing. Excuse me. And we're concerned about who we're looking at. We're looking to Jesus.
Amen.
He's the one that's going to benefit us in everything that we're doing. So for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. This is why all of the benefit and everything that we desire that can be accomplished, not by our works, but by what he's done, we can walk in victory, we can walk in the peace of God, we can walk in the love of God, we can walk according to the will of God, because of what Jesus did at the cross of Calvary.
Amen.
Praise God. Isn't that wonderful?
That is wonderful.
What he did. This is why Apostle Paul was saying there in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 18, he says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish is foolishness. Mm-hmm. You see, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. So we keep our eyes on Jesus and everything that he's done for us, and he did it all at the cross of Calvary. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God. When we try to exclude the cross and try to bring in the resurrection, then we have things in a backwards motion, because there could be no resurrection without the crucifixion. And Jesus had to be crucified and was buried and rose again on the third day. Praise God. I want to tell you that his resurrection was our resurrection, so we can walk in the resurrected power. But first we have to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for us at Calvary. Minister Glory, he brought peace and joy for us.
That's right. Amen.
Peace and joy.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. Everything that Jesus did,
mm-hmm.
he did it for us.
Did it for us. Praise God.
He who knew no sin,
that's right,
was made a sin offering for us,
mm-hmm.
that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Praise
well,
God.
I want to tell everyone out there in Radio Land, whether you are a believer or disbeliever, but I don't care, unbeliever, whatever terminology that can be is used, let me tell you something. Without Jesus and what he has done for us all, I wonder, where would we be?
Oh my.
My God, where would we be?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus,
mm-hmm.
Lord Jesus, thank you for everything that you endured. You put up with everything there on Calvary's cross. You did it for us.
Mm-hmm.
Minister Glory, isn't that wonderful?
That is wonderful. Mm-hmm.
He did it all for us. Praise God, praise God. And I want to tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ, all my hope is in Jesus.
Amen.
Listen to what I'm saying out there in radio.
Mm-hmm.
All my hope is in Jesus.
Yes.
And I tell you, as what's resonating up within my spirit at the moment is the little tune that says, all my hope is in Jesus. Thank God yesterday's gone. All my sins are forgiven. I've been washed by his blood.
Amen. Praise
the Lord. Glory to God. I tell you,
mm-hmm.
I've been washed by his blood. All my hope is in Jesus.
Praise God.
And everything that the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us on Calvary's cross. Praise God. I became a benefactor of everything that Jesus did on Calvary's cross. He gave me peace
yes.
of mind.
Yes.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. I said he gave me peace of mind.
Yep.
It was all on Calvary's cross when I received the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my soul, my God. He washed me.
Yes.
And he cleansed me. Glory to God.
Yes.
He gave me eternal life.
Yes.
Praise God. Praise mm-hmm. God. His love is flowing through me, praise God, by what he did on Calvary's cross.
Praise.
He gave me his righteousness.
Yes.
Oh, he did it all there on Calvary's cross. And that's the reason why we exalt him.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible tells us that he who knew no sin was made a sin offering for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God.
Mm-hmm.
I have the righteousness of God to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He did it all there on Calvary's cross.
Praise
That's
God.
Why the devil don't want you to talk about Calvary. Because the moment that you talk about Calvary, he recognized that he was defeated there on Calvary's cross. Woo, glory to God. He was defeated there on Calvary's cross. The blood came against him. My God. He was defeated by the blood of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel like
Amen.
Preaching on this program
hey.
Here, Minister Glory.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Go.
Hallelujah.
Go right ahead.
And you start talking about the blood of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. The blood washes and cleanses us from all sin.
Amen.
We thank God. I said we thank God. Hallelujah. That this race that we're in, we are covered by the blood.
Covered by the blood.
Oh, yes.
What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
What can wash away our sins?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
What can make us whole again?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Oh, there's blood that's drawn from Emmanuel's vein, where sinners are plunged beneath and lose all their guilt and stain. I want to tell you here this morning, glory to God, staying focused on the Lord Jesus Christ and who he is in all of our lives as children of God. Praise the Lord. Listen, we've been washed.
Mm-hmm.
We've been cleansed.
Yes.
We've been sanctified.
Yes.
We've been justified.
Hallelujah.
And soon we'll be glorified. Praise the Lord. With everything that Jesus has done for us on Calvary's cross.
Praise
my
the Lord.
God, my God. That's what he done.
Mm-hmm.
He did it all. It's nothing that I've done.
No, nothing.
It's what the Lord Jesus Christ has done.
Amen.
And that's why we give him praise.
Yes.
Amen. We're not sitting around twiddling our fingers and hoping for eternal life. No, we have eternal life through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ because of what he did, not what I've done or what I think I'm able to do.
Amen.
Not only did I have eternal life, but I have the victory.
Ooh, glory.
Glory to God.
Yes.
I said I have the victory to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Yes.
That's what happened. Minister Glory, he ascertained, mm-hmm. he gave us the victory.
Yes, he
that
did.
Victory came to us only through and by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Praise God.
Amen.
Without Jesus, we don't have no victory.
No.
Without Jesus, we don't have no salvation.
Yep.
Without Jesus, we don't have no resurrected power. Without Jesus, we don't have any peace. Without Jesus, there is no joy.
Mm-hmm.
Without Jesus Christ,
you're nothing.
He is everything.
If you don't have Jesus, you're nothing.
We're nothing.
We're nothing.
Nothing. My God, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we preach Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We preach the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't corral people together and start talking about politics or what's going on in the government. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 9, it says that unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government, that's the government that we're talking about,
mm-hmm.
Jesus' government.
Yes.
Not this earthly government. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. Praise God.
Praise God.
I tell you, it's Jesus.
It's Jesus.
All to Jesus.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
All to Jesus.
Amen.
I owe him all.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus.
There's no other name.
No other name.
Under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
That's right.
Except the name of Jesus.
Praise
and
God.
I tell you out there in Radio Land, if you don't know who I'm talking about, you can know him. Praise God. He's just a step away. Praise God. All you need to do is step aside, get on your knees, and cry out to God.
Hallelujah.
He'll save you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Ask him to come in. Give that invitation to him. Praise God. Open up your heart and say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner.
Yes.
And I deserve to go to hell.
Yes.
But because of what you've done for me on Calvary's cross, you made it possible for me to have eternal life.
Glory.
I now stay focused on you, asking you to come into my heart,
mm-hmm.
change my life, do something with it.
Yes.
Because I love you, and I thank you for, praise God, everything that you've done. I have the peace of God.
Praise God.
Amen. Amen. Yes, the peace of God that passes all understanding
mm-hmm.
is through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And being justified, praise God, being justified by Jesus and what he's done. This is not a time to be playing on the radio or just making some announcement about some bulldog auto shop or whatever the case might be. Listen, let me tell you something. This program is to exalt the name of Jesus for souls to be saved, for people to turn from their wicked ways and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life. That's what it is. It's life-changing. Oh, my God. This broadcast is life-changing.
Yes.
Look to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Look to him, and he'll change your life. Praise God. I said he'll change your life.
Mm-hmm.
He changed mine,
mm-hmm.
and I know if he could change mine, he will change yours. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. As Apostle Paul said, he was the chief of sinners. I tell you, I was as well. But I thank God, hallelujah, that he saved me.
Yes.
That he changed my life. Praise God. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Praise God. Well, we have a couple minutes here before we bring the broadcast to a close.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to tell you, don't let anybody fool you or deceive you with vain philosophy or telling you some political story. Let me tell you something. You stay focused on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Ask him to come into your life.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one that will change it. Praise God. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. I said Jesus will change your life. We're not talking about religion. We're talking about a relationship between us and God. And the only way it can happen is coming to Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. Coming to Jesus and having Jesus to change your life. Minister Gloria, in this 60 seconds or therefore, I want you to extend an invitation to everybody that tuned into this broadcast. Tell them they can get saved.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth,
hallelujah,
the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever,
hallelujah,
shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith.
Praise God. We thank God for you all out there, whoever you are, wherever you are that have tuned in to this broadcast weekly. But I want to tell you, you don't have to worry and you don't have to fret. All you need to do is to have faith in Jesus Christ and him crucified. God bless you all out there. Until the next broadcast is my prayer.
You have been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.